Time, right? There is nothing more important than worship than the Word of God. And I tell you what, holiday seasons for churches are just about the most difficult season to give those little canned messages. We don't have any canned messages because Jesus is not in a box. And God is faithful. How many are you glad? God is faithful to speak His Word and to feed His sheep. And that's the most important thing. And I pray that you would be blessed this morning, as I was blessed, just in reviewing some of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. It's Easter Sunday morning, and Easter Sunday morning is all about what? Life. Say the word life. Say it one more time. Life. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 16, verse 10. Psalm 16, 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? "Thou wilt not leave my soul," where? "In Sheol, the place of the dead." Jesus was praying when Jesus wants to die, but He wants to rise again. He knew what was going to happen, but He knew that God the Father would not leave Him there. Jesus meditated when He was on the cross, and I'm sure He meditated on the Word. And I believe this is one of the scriptures that He meditated on. This morning in the sunrise study that we had this morning, we were studying scriptures that Jesus meditated on while He was on the cross. And this is one of the scriptures that was meditated on. "Thou will not leave my soul in hell, but you will show me the pathway to life." Some of you might be in some hellacious situations this morning. Some of you are going through some situations and some things. But I want you to know, God's not going to leave you there. You might be living in some things that might seem like the sky's about to fall out over top of you, but God is not going to leave you there. He will show you the pathway to life. And this is what Jesus meditated on when He was tried. When He was tried on Calvary, He said, "Listen, in your presence is fullness of joy." He said, "I might be here right now going through this stuff, having to deal with all of this mess, but sooner you're not going to leave me here. I will be reunited to you once again, Father, for in your presence is fullness of joy." And you notice when it said, "For the joy that awaited Him, He endured the cross." Well, what did He endure the cross for? Because He knew that He would be in the presence of the Father in no time at all. Show me the pathway to life. Everybody wants to have a life. There's a slogan that we say, "Now this is life." Then we also say, "Get a life." Look at somebody and say, "Get a life this morning." There are several ways that one can get a life this morning. Let's go on down to Psalm. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Meditate on these things and get them in your heart. Listen to the Word and stay in the Spirit as you hear the Word. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." John chapter 1, verse 4. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now we're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. John chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus is the life and the light of men. And there was one scripture in the Bible, one place in the Bible where Jesus said that He knew that He was alive. He said, "Listen, and ye will not come to me that you may have life." Isn't that amazing? Everybody's trying to find a life. Everybody's trying to get a life. Everybody's trying to find happiness, peace, satisfaction, joy, and all of those things and every other thing but the one where life existed. Life is in Jesus Christ. Wholeness is in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. But people still, they just won't come to where they can get a life. Where is life? And what did Jesus say? You won't come to me. Now we're going to find out that coming to get a life is a whole lot more than just coming to church. We're going to find out what that life was that was in Jesus Christ. Now we can make little slogans and we can say little things that come to Jesus and have life. Well, what kind of life? There's a lot of life. There's some things that we call life, but not everything is a quality life. And what is the life that Jesus Christ wants you to have? What is the life that Jesus Christ wants you to live? What life was in Jesus Christ? What kind of life do you think was in Jesus Christ? If you're born again today, and if you're living that supernatural life where the Holy Ghost is leading you, guiding you, directing you, that life that you're living, this joy that you have that the world can't take it away, that's the life that was in Jesus Christ. He said, in me is life. That satisfaction that you're looking for, it was in him. But people got to realize, listen, it's in Jesus Christ, but you won't come and get it. My life is so boring. I don't have this. I don't have that. Listen, Jesus said, listen, I've got the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. But you won't come to get it. Amen. There can be life in Jesus Christ, but you got to take it. So you got to take the life that Jesus Christ offers. You got to choose life. He's just not going to force life on you. If you want to die, go on and die. Notice in the Bible where it says, listen, I set before you what? Blessings and curses, life and what? Death. And then he tells the dumb ones, choose life. And here in the scripture, he said, listen, right here. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You got to take it to Jesus. There are several situations that we're faced with in this thing we call life. Situations on our job, situations in our family, where we have to pick up the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. What do you mean come to Jesus? Come to Jesus more means more than come to Jesus and cry on an altar. You can come to Jesus when you don't know what else to do. There are times when you might want to punch somebody in the nose. But instead of punching that person in the nose, you might need to come to Jesus. What does come to Jesus mean? It means you need to do what Jesus would do. They consider Jesus. And if we would consider Jesus in these things, we would have what? Life. Are you getting where I'm going? In Jesus was a lifestyle. See? And he had this perfect way of life that would solve all of our problems, answer every issue, and meet every need, but people won't pick up that lifestyle and come to Jesus. Every day we're faced with situations that would cause us to walk away from Jesus. How did we walk away from Jesus? Walk away from what he would do. Walk away from what he teaches. He said, I want you to have life, but you won't come to me. Listen, you're getting in that argument real quick and you want to put in that second word. We're supposed to shut up. Well, listen, you have to look at it this way. I'm going to go to Jesus in this that I might have life. That you might have life. We come to Jesus by imitating Jesus, by following Jesus. A follower is a disciple. And a disciple is a what? An imitator of Christ. So when he's saying, come to me, he's saying, imitate me. See, come to Jesus is just not like following somebody blindly. When you come to Jesus, what you do is you imitate Jesus. And as you imitate Jesus and you act like Jesus, you're coming to Jesus. He said, you won't come to me that you might have life. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to teach this whole thing because Jesus was on the cross a long time. Amen. You're going to be in church a long time. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Just letting you know, way in advance. You got an airplane to catch? Amen. We can call a cab. All right? Why? This is what it's all about. It's not all about the food bar and Easter Sunday bonnets. John chapter 6, verse 27. It says, listen, labor not for meat which perish, but for meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father sealed. For him has God the Father sealed. Somebody say, don't labor for all. Everybody working so hard for stuff that's going to be going away. Stuff that, everybody can't wait. I got to go home and get some rest to labor for that meat that does not satisfy. Prime rib goes rotten if you leave it out of the refrigerator. Why? Because it's dead. But we work so hard. We work so hard. We labor so hard. We stress ourselves out. We go crazy. We beat the Joneses. You know, that's the most important thing in life. And Jesus said, listen, labor not for meat that perishes. You want to eat, don't you? I got to do this. Don't work that way. Amen. But labor. Amen. But labor for the meat which endureth unto eternal life. Labor for stuff, amen, that's going to give you a quality life. Somebody say, work out your salvation, amen. Work out living like Jesus, amen. Work at this Christian thing. Work at your faith. Work at building yourself up in the Holy Ghost, amen. Work at it, something, and get yourself a real life. Hallelujah. He said, I want to give it to you, but you won't come and get it. Looking at it is different than coming and getting it. Somebody say, act like it. Fake it till you make it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to get good. I tell you what, I get excited about certain messages, but when some of the things that went down with this one, you know, y'all leave an offering at the door and go, but I was nearly in tears in my office over some of the things that I read this morning that the Holy Ghost had done. When I put out the messages that, you know, I get surprised like you do. I hear the word just like you hear the word. Do you know that? Do you know that's the greatest gift from God, you know, to have God speak to you and say, this is where I'm going, and him show you something that you didn't see before? I'm getting it just like you are. This is a supernatural thing. Jesus is real. I mean, I know how dumb I am, and I know how smart he is. I said, oh, my God, it's there. Nearly brought tears to my eyes. I've already had church. Somebody say amen. I had a wonderful service this morning. Amen. You got to get yours in. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Happy Easter. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst again. Somebody say, Jesus is trying to tell you he is your supplier. Somebody say, come and get it. Why be in hunger? Why be in lack? Why be in need? Amen. Why be thirsty? Why be searching? Amen. When Jesus will meet every one of your needs. Somebody say, glory to Jesus. You know that's an Easter Sunday thing. You know, that's one of the first things we found out this morning in this morning service. Amen. The first thing that Jesus said, you know, he came back when he preached again after he had risen from the dead. You know, that's when he told everybody to speak in tongues. After he had risen, you know, after he had risen, he got back and he preached the message. Amen. And he didn't talk about what he did on the cross. That was really nice. He went right into business. He said, go ye, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Amen. You will speak in new tongues. That's what his Easter Sunday message was. Amen. He got up preaching. Amen. He didn't get up and say, look what I saw in hell. Amen. I suffered so bad in hell. He didn't preach that. Amen. He got up and said, get on to what God told you to get on with. Get on and do something with the life that I gave you. Amen. You go on and read it too. It's in Mark chapter 16. That was Jesus' Easter Sunday message. He got over it. He was over it. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. John chapter 6:53. The Holy Ghost was moving this morning. He knew where he wanted to move this morning. That's why he did a supernatural thing. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Somebody said, until you eat it up. You're not going to have any kind of life. You got to dissect Jesus and tear it up. You got to look at his life, look at the way he lived, and eat it up. Somebody say, you ever looked at a baby and said, I could just eat you up. Until you eat the flesh. Listen, look how Jesus walked in the flesh and eat it up. Yeah. Until you get into this stuff and devour it. I'm not just talking about taking communion, drinking a little grape juice, and eating some crackers. I'm talking about taking the fullness of Jesus Christ until you receive all that he has and live off of him. Live off of what he supplied. Amen. Live off of that. That's what it means. Nourish yourself. He said, I'm the bread of life. I expect you to live off of me. Somebody say, use me. Somebody say, glory to God. He's looking for somebody to just get in there and ride him. Use me. Live off of me. Don't live apart from me. I want to take care of you. I want to supply every one of your needs. I can handle you. Somebody say, praise God. Not only did he die for you, shed his blood for you, took your bruises, took all your stripes and all those things. Somebody say, glory to God. He got up, and then after he got up, he said, now tear me up and eat me up and live off of me. Let me be your total source and your total supply. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Listen. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And that means more than just take communion. That means get into him. Somebody say amen. Get into fellowship with Jesus. You'll live this quality life. Amen. Don't leave Jesus behind. Somebody say praise him. Listen, I will raise him up at the last day. Woo, he was talking about something, wasn't he? He said, you'll have yourself a resurrection. Glory to God. Amen. When it looks like it's over, when you're at deadline, amen, when the devil's about to come in, he'll raise you up. You'll be in some mess, amen, and in some situation, in a little bit of hellacious situations, amen. But if you eat this life, God will raise you up. You need to be resurrected this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Listen, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by him. He's talking about living. Jesus lived off the Father. So he that eateth me, what? Somebody say, get him. Even he shall live, how? By him. This is life. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live, what? Forever. John chapter 11, verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Somebody say, yet. Shall he live? Look at somebody and say, yet shall I live. I don't care what's going on right now. Yet shall I live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe it? John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. Some say, living to know God. This is life. The Bible says, now this is life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Now we're going to get to where we wanted to go. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, in case you didn't know it. Amen. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's pouring himself out for you. That's what Easter was all about. That's all about what death. It's a good shepherd giving his life. He was just being good. It was, listen, him on the cross was all about your life. Amen. Somebody asks you, what's Calvary all about? Say, it's all about me. Amen. It's all about my life. Say, I was so bad off, Jesus had to come and hang. Somebody say, glory to God. Just for me. Glory to God. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, See if the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of my sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I do what? Watch y'all look at that. John chapter 10, verse 15. And I do what? Lay down my life for who? The sheep. So say, that's what he does. Say, that's what he does. Say it again. My, 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 my. So say, Jesus lays down his life for sheep. Can I tell you something? Look at me. He still lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what Christianity is all about. If Jesus is yet living, he's yet laying down his life for sheep on a daily basis. This is the life that Jesus called us to live, laying down our life for the sheep. We're going to find that out. The life that was in him. Somebody say, praise God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And that life was meant for you to live. Amen. And that life that lives on you on the inside. Let me tell you about the life of God that abides on the inside of you. It's looking for a life to lay down itself before. If you got the life of Jesus Christ within you, amen, it's looking for somebody to bow down. It's looking for somebody to change. Amen. It's looking for a need. It's looking for a ministry someplace to fulfill. Somebody say, this is life and life more abundantly. John chapter 13, verse 37. This is where Jesus was dealing with me this morning. I do say Jesus. Amen. I was there, and we really ragged out Peter something awful on Friday night, didn't we? I mean, poor Peter had a rough time Friday night around here. Amen. But you know what? Peter, here's Peter again. So I said, let's bring him back. Everybody say cock-a-doodle-doo. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Say it one more time. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Cock-a-doodle-doo. John chapter 13, verse 37. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. See, that's what all that stuff was about. See, you got to understand that Jesus constantly ministered to his disciples the process of laying down one's life. Somebody say, praise God. And Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee that the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me. How many times? Three times. Notice this, that this is what Jesus was teaching. See, he had a part of the word, but he wasn't able to perform that word. Jesus taught things like this in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I say. Some say Jesus is into this laying down stuff. Right, this is all I had yesterday, one sentence, and it turned into all this. When you give your life to others, you really get to live. See, that's the premise of Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. When you give your life to others, then you get to live. This is life, and life more abundantly. This is the gift of life that Jesus gave us. This is the teaching that Jesus gave us that will overcome the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, great, here we go. Now let's go to John chapter 21, verse 12. And we're going to tie that in. Somebody say the other part to Peter's cock-a-doodle-doo story. Last night we talked about people denying Jesus and how we can deny Jesus and deny the anointing, miss God by lack of prayer and doing all these things. But today we're going to find out how we cannot deny God. Somebody say amen. Amen. how Jesus said, now listen, Peter, you let me down before. Yeah, the cock crew, everybody knows it. Amen. Everybody knows it. You were cussing and I looked you right in your face and you let me down, but I'm going to let you make it right. And this is how you're going to do it. Now keep that in mind. John chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples does ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Somebody say, this is after he got up. This was an after death and resurrection teaching. Somebody say, oh boy. And I'm sure Peter was expecting him to put that little thing under the carpet, not bring it up. You know, let's just let it rest, you know. Just keep it cool, you know. I know what I did. Everybody knows what I do. Just leave it alone, Jesus. Don't, you know, I'm here. They had to go find you. Everybody else was together, but they had to go look for you someplace else. Amen. So Peter happened to be at this meal. Amen. Sitting there. And Jesus cometh then and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. So we say, after Easter. After that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? See, Jesus remembered what he said before. I guess Simon thought, here we go. I thought it was over too. You know, last thing I knew, you were dead. Then you came back. So you must be God. Then he looked him in the face and said, do you love me more than these? See, the first time, he didn't ask him nothing. He just stuck his 2 cents in it. If he had shut up, he would have been okay. See, but this time, his 2 cents was asked for. Do you love me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, Jonas, lovest thou me? Saying to the church here. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Don't you hear all my songs I'm singing? I make church. I'm on the worship team. I pay my tithes when I got enough. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Said a time, a question for every cockcrow. Every time we're tempted to deny Jesus Christ, Jesus asks us the question, do you love me? Well, how can we say that we love Jesus? We expect him to, well, Jesus is going through all this other stuff. Say, listen, how you can make it up. Peter grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said, I know where you're going. I already cried about that at the fire. I know exactly where you're going. I've been dealing with this for the last several days. I know exactly where you're going, why you're asking me this. Maybe he was thinking, you don't want me to be around this table because what I did. You were sitting there in prison and I was by this fire with my butt up to the fire cussing. And you were going through all that persecution, grieved. There's some of us. If we really think about what Jesus did and what he suffered and the price that he paid, we would grieve too. But we got to get beyond our grief. We need to get beyond our belief into action. Just like somebody that dies, we all bring flowers. And they ain't had a flower from you in the last 15 years. As soon as they die, you got the biggest bush up there. Same thing. Easter Sunday morning. They don't see you any other time of the week, but Easter Sunday morning come around, you're going to be right there with tears in your eyes. Peter began to grieve because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto them, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest, you know that I love you. You know where I'm coming from, Jesus. Jesus, you know it's all right. Deep down in my heart, God, you know. It's, you know, we got a thing going on. He knows. Jesus said unto him again, feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou didst gird thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou wilt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee. And carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This he spoke, signifying the death that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, what? Follow me. He was asking this man to die. But we understand when we follow Jesus, what happens? We what? We live. Peter got a second chance. See, Peter probably thought when he was greedy, he probably thought, I'm out of this. He said, I gotta go. Where's that tree to Judas? Where's Judas's tree? He probably thought they were going to put him out. Who knows what he would be going through? It's nice when you read the Bible and find out all these things. Jesus turns around to him and he looks at him and says, listen, follow me. Follow me to life. When we love Jesus Christ, we can only display our love for Jesus Christ by feeding sheep. And I tell you what it costs you. What does Jesus feed sheep? Grass? Him what? Himself. Tell you what, church, if you love Jesus, we all got to get to the point to where we want to feed sheep. This nearly got me. Listen, if I love Jesus Christ, I want to do everything in my ability to get you the Word of God. And if you love Jesus Christ, you should do everything in your ability to get people the Word of God that will give them life. I sit up there and listen to Brother Buddy Bell's video this morning as I was walking through the lobby. He loves Jesus Christ, and everything this man does, he does it so people can come and hear the Word of God, and sheep might be fed. Say, follow me. I tell you what Buddy Bell's teaching is feeding sheep, but it's going to cost us a little bit of laying down our life in order to feed the sheep. What do you mean, this woman over here and different ones get in here, they're feeding sheep. How is she feeding sheep? She's laying down her life when she could be sleeping in bed up here cleaning churches. Laying down your life. And see, people don't realize that you can feed sheep in a lot of ways. You don't have to be up here with a microphone in your hand and grinding and You want to feed sheep, lay down your life. Jesus fed his sheep his own blood and his own flesh. Say, feed sheep. If you want to make a difference in anybody's life, don't even think you can get up there and just smile in somebody's face. If you want to make a difference in anybody's life and see them grow in Jesus Christ, you want to give them Jesus Christ, you're going to have to feed them a piece of yourself. He lays down his life for the sheep. You're not going to have any quality relationship where there's not a laying down of life. You've got to give up something. It's all about giving. Say, follow me. He told him, listen. He said, listen, follow me, Peter. What I did, you were right there. Don't worry about it. I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see what I went through. Follow me through all that stuff, Peter. You followed me. You were from a distance way back there, but you followed me. But I want you to follow me all the way. You're going to lay down your life for the church of Jesus Christ. He's saying the same thing to every one of this morning. Jesus said in his word, anyone, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. See, we all want to talk about Jesus on the cross, but I want you to know you got one too. We can preach all kind of lollipops and give you a flower on the way out the door. That flower ain't going to live forever. How many of you got your flower from last year? But I can give you something that will last forever, change lives, and make a difference in somebody else's life. And we got to get beyond the fluff and get to the things that really matter the most. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You've got a cross to bear. Might not be the same cross. I'm going to tell you, there's a burden for everybody. Guess what? You're going to have to feed somebody. There's somebody that's going to need a little piece of you everywhere you go. Your ministry is, you know what ministry basically? It said the Son of Man came not to be served and do all these things, but he came to minister. He came to serve. He came to give his life. When you grow up in Jesus Christ, you know what you do? You go out. When you grow up in Jesus Christ, you start giving out of yourself. You find out the more you give, the more you get. Yeah, that's a true spiritual person. Holding nothing back, but letting it all out. Say, feeding the sheep. I'll do whatever I got to. I can tell the people have been with me at different times when I really sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When I want to, you know, I'll meet somebody out in evangelism or wherever it is. I'm trying to tell them about Jesus. And I'm trying to say Jesus loves them. And I'm always reaching for my wallet. Why? Because it gives itself out. It gives itself out. It gives itself out. Lay down your life so somebody can live. Matthew, we're talking about life this morning. He said, now you should be talking about getting this quality life, and now you're talking about dying. That's how you get the quality life. Amen. Follow him. Don't just stop at the cross. Don't just stop there. When Jesus comes, don't let him find you at the bottom of the cross. It's nice to see it. But don't let him see you at the bottom of the cross crying. Let him find you out there doing and following him, taking his examples. So I want to make the cross worthwhile. Listen, when you're dying, you're living. When you're dying, you're living. That's what's awesome. People think, don't you want this? Don't you want that? I'm going to tell you what. When you're dying, you're living. Glory to God. You can't be God-given. Don't worry about a thing. Somebody say, don't you want to hold on to anything? No, let it go. When you're dying, you're living. That's when life begins. That's when you find out what God can do. When you stop holding back and start giving in, then you find out what this life is all about that he's talking about. Follow Jesus. Everybody going to go down that road. Ain't no detours. You don't say, all right, Jesus, that's nice. I'm with you. I'm going to wait right here till you come back around that path. I'm going over there to the green side, but I don't understand this one. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There are a lot of people that are afraid to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, it's no death in it. It's just life. It looks like death. It looks like you're going to lose everything, but you're gaining everything. People don't want to die to their will, to their desires, to their little hang-ups, and to all their stuff. I'm always right. This is what I want. That's mine. If you're going to hang with Jesus, you're going to have to walk through the death of your emotion. This is the life that Jesus came to give. When you want to see him hanging on the cross, this is what he hung on the cross for, that you might have that same kind of life. That's the only way you're going to find out that death has no sting. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall what? You want to find your life? Lose it. Karen Clark sang a song, it makes me want to lose my mind. I'm about to lose it. You ever looked at people when they go crazy? And they look at that person and say, that person's then lost it. I'm going to tell you what, it's crazy not to lose it. You need to get to the point to where you just lose it. Let the people talk about you. What's wrong with you? Say, I've lost it. I've lost it. When you find your life, you got to find your life. You see, there are a lot of people that haven't found their life. When you really find your life, or what you might think is your life, everybody needs to grab a hold of their life and look at it. What am I working for? What am I trying to build? There are all kind of things that people see. There's a way that seems right to men, but the way leads only to death. All these things I'm striving for, trying to put all this stuff together. I won't be just like Bill Gates. All these things, whatever it is. When you find it, when you really look at it and find it, you're going to look at it and say, oh, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, yet lose his own soul? See, as soon as you find your life, you'll lose it. When you find people trying to hold on to what they may call their life or the thing that appears to be life, it's not life. As soon as they find it, they'll lose it. Some people not even find the life that they're wanting to lose in the long run. They're fighting to find something they would throw away after they got it. I got all this stuff, but look at me now. What's that the real rich guy that grew the hair real long, long fingernails? He found it and was dumb enough that he didn't know how to throw it away. There are a lot of lives that may appear to be good, but I tell you what, trash. Not good for anything but able to throw it away. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Lose it.
Lose it.
Listen, life. Talk about life. This life is talking about your psyche, my well-being. I got to protect myself. That's not healthy for me. I can't. I'm being abused. That's mental abuse. I can't deal with that. I'm not going to let anybody walk all over me. That word save life means protect your life. Protect your life. My rights and all my stuff. You had a right to go to hell. You want it back? Yeah, the devil had a right to do whatever he wanted to do with you. Jesus Christ came that we might have life more abundantly. Don't be afraid to die. This is a heavy Easter Sunday morning message. This is life. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, one more time, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're getting there. Therefore, say, therefore, take no thought for your life. Saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles see. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you need these things. Let God be responsible. But seek ye first. Seek first. The feeding of the sheep in the kingdom of God. And all those other things, God's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. He's not. He didn't come that you might be poor, broke, and destitute, and everybody stomping you, beating you on the street, and you say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That's not what his will is for you. God can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. Period. Take no thought. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice this. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Say, here's Peter, the church, and represents the church, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. You're not going to have to die for anybody. You're not going to have to suffer anything. You don't have to give it up. You're the king. Be it far from you. See, there are a lot of people that want to separate Christianity from responsibility and suffering. We're not to suffer the afflictions of the devil. We're not to suffer the afflictions of the devil. You're not to suffer in sickness, disease, and demonic, all that other stuff. But you are to freely give yourself to others. It ain't no suffering. I'm trying to suffer. I can't. I'm trying to waste everything I have. I'm still living, still doing good. I got shoes on my feet, look good, getting better all the time. Try it. But he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Let me tell you what. If you're in on the big crowd and what everybody else is doing and the right thing, popular opinion and all this other mess, you're not going to get the heart of God. You're not going to get the heart of God. Don't think like everybody else. Just because everybody else thinks, don't you think that way. You think what God thinks. You go along with the anointing. You get along with the flow of God. And it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him do what to himself? And do what? Take up his cross. And follow me. So many people think that means just put a little cross around their neck. Cross on the back of their car. Cross on their wall. Get it off the wall from me, around your neck. It's nice if you got it, but pick up a cross of responsibility someplace. Find something that God wants you to do, and when the devil wants you to give up, hang on it anyhow. When everybody else wants you to give up and say, why are you suffering? These people don't care about what you're teaching, about what you're preaching. Hang on anyhow. Say, I'm hanging. He hung so I can hang. Your cross, you got your cross, he had his cross. I'm just hanging. I'll hang until he comes. I ain't coming down. I'm going to stay right here. See, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and so should you. Bring it on! Hang there. Because you know what? It's Christ in me. Jesus is still doing it again and again and again. He's trying to tell you, find a cross and get there and find out they can't kill you. When you lose the fear of death, I'm not talking about the fear of death. I'm talking about the fear, of losing everything. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today everywhere but in me. If he lives, he's dying. What do I mean by that? He's not. If he's living, he's still giving himself to others through you. When you see somebody doing a ministry, any little thing, that's Jesus Christ living. This religion, our faith and our religion won't die because Jesus Christ ever lives. Take up his cross and do what? Follow me. Whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. But when the young man heard that Jesus, he went away sorrowful. Jesus asked him, talking about the time, go to 16. And behold, one came unto him, Matthew 19, 16, and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do to get this kind of life? I want it. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, God. And if thou wilt enter into what? Life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Say, I'm good. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Say, I'm good. All right, everybody say, I'm good. Thou shalt not steal. Say, I'm good. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said, wow, I got it all covered. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, ready for use, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus doesn't let anybody that follows him that's not a sellout. It's a big deal. They look at people today and they say, you're just a sellout. Everybody in the church, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to be a sellout. Completely sold out. Sold out is the only way out. If you want to get out of that life that you got to sell your way out of it. But when the young man had heard that saying, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is a person that's so rich, they think, my life is so together, I don't want nobody to affect it, I don't want anybody to change it. I don't want nobody messing with my stuff, I don't want nobody messing with me. I like it as it is. That's a sorry person. A person that won't let God get involved with their stuff, won't let God get involved, so I say, that's a sorry person. We call somebody sitting on a street corner that's broken, destitute, sorry. I tell you, a sorry person, amen. He became very sorrowful. Say, sorry. We used to call people sorry suckers. That's a sorry sucker, suckered by the devil. Think he can have a life without Jesus Christ. For he had great possessions. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? That means they all had money. Amen. That means they were all, what he said, well, who can be saved then? That means they all weren't broke. They all didn't jump up and say, woo, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We got it. They said, I'm out. And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. With God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, here's Peter again. You see the current of Peter through this whole thing? He said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What do we get? I'm going to close that out at this. Say, what you get? It's all right to say, what's in it for me? Now what did I buy? I sold it all out. Now what did I just buy? You got it all. What's behind curtain number three? Anybody ever wonder what do I got? Verily I say unto you, ye which have hung around me, followed me. Remember he said, follow me, must follow me and take up his cross. Didn't mean just go to every little preaching. Follow him to every little conference. Follow his example. Follow his lifestyle. Follow his suffering. Follow his example. Follow his teachings. Follow his word. That means do it. Be a follower. Be a disciple. He that follow me in this generation, when the Son of Man shall sit in on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who hath forsaken, say some of them, the holy apostles, the people that were just there during that time frame, everyone, write your name there. And when Ron Counselor hath forsaken houses, God, that doesn't mean just let the lawn grow up real high. And let the dishes go. Okay? Houses or brethren or sisters. Some of that's easier than others. Or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my name's sake. Shall receive what? 100-fold. My Lord. 100-fold. Shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. In this time, and one scripture says, in this life, and also in the life to come. But many that shall be first. Let me tell you, I'm going to let you know straight up. If you got to push people out of the way to get first, me, that's mine. Say, you're on your way to the back of the line. Say, the one that's always saying it's mine, to the end of the line. All right? But many that are first shall be last. Everybody's always trying to stick themselves up first. Take care of me first and everybody else second. He that's seeking their own stuff instead of seeking the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about first. Let me take care of my stuff first, then I'll worry about your stuff. If I get all my stuff together, then I can think about you. Can't give the children bread to dogs. We even get scriptural on. Shall be last. And the last shall be what?
First.
And the last shall be what? And when you make yourself last, God will do what for you? When you put yourself back, you got to put yourself back. God's not going to knock you back. You've got to put yourself back. You got to be willing to lay down your life for somebody else. going in front of me. Practice it in the grocery store sometime when there's a real long line. Practice. Practice it. You'll never get God's best, and you'll never go to the front of the line until you willingly put your flesh last. You want to get ahead, get behind. You want to get ahead, get behind somebody's dream. You want to get ahead, get behind somebody's hopes. Get behind someone that's trying to do something for God. Get behind someone that's trying to do something with their life. Those that be last shall be first. Stop putting yourself up. Let God raise you up. Get behind somebody and help them and encourage somebody. Make that be your life plea. Others first, then me. William Booth said that. Others first, then me. When you do that, God will put you first. God will lift you up. God will raise you up. So look to bless somebody else and watch what God does for you. That's what he said. He didn't tell you to bless yourself. He said, let me do the blessing. And see who can do a better job. Say, humble yourself, and you shall be exalted. Be the first to run to the cross. Be the first to be resurrected.